Well, I want to say about Georgie Brothers and Rob Georgie, couldn't be better. And Steve and Tom and Michael Passer and everyone else down there. Because I've been trying to get the perfect bed for me, and it's not that simple. And I must tell you, their patience is unbelievable. And I thank them so much for doing that. And it really is, when we do the spot for Georgie Brothers, they've been in business since 1933. There's a reason why. And they do a great, great job. So I want to thank everyone over at Georgie Brothers. And tomorrow we'll have another greatest game in Giants franchise history. All right, we are going down to Southern California and bring in J.P. Hornstra. J.P., of course, covers MLB for the Southern California News Group down there, and he is watching the juggernaut. The Dodgers just take the Giants apart. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Marty. How are you?
Well, pretty good. And, you know, as I say, every day in baseball, thank God, is another day, and you forget about what happened yesterday. But, boy, it's tough to forget about the first two games for the Dodgers and the Giants and just the way the games have sort of played out. What's your take on it?
Well, a couple things. I mean, the first one, Marty, I talked about this with you yesterday. We were trying to identify if the Dodgers had a weakness, what it would be. And I think the most logical area that you could point to at the moment is their starting pitching. Missing Clayton Kershaw with this injury, this back injury, missing David Price, who opted out of the season. You were trusting a couple of rotation spots to Dustin May and Ross Stripling, who May probably would be at the minor league camp getting stretched out. Stripling would probably be in the bullpen. Instead, they're starting games one and two of the season, and they've given up two runs. So I think I personally had a sense that the Dodgers were capable of scoring eight or nine runs in a game against the right pitching staff. That part didn't surprise me too much. I knew Mookie Betts was a good baseball player. It's been good to see him so far living up to his contract early. Corey Seager had a hot spring. That was all pretty much a given, but I didn't necessarily know that Dustin May and Ross Stripling were going to come in and do what they've done these first two games.
Well, give us a little of the Alex Wood story, because he's now back with the Dodgers, and Kershaw is supposed to pitch next week, and Stripling, wow, that's the best I've seen Stripling pitch in a long time, I want to tell you. And that umpire was very friendly to him last night, giving him that high strike, which is exactly what he needs. But Stripling, excellent. You could talk about him. And then Alex Wood is back. And talking to Bill Lasky, Bill seems to think, and reading all the reports about him, that Alex Wood is much healthier and back to where he used to be.
Yeah, health is really the key with Wood. We'll start with him. This is a guy who really hasn't pitched that much in the last year and a half. I would be really basing my Alex Wood report on the guy that I remember from 2 years ago. And he was a pretty good pitcher. He was one of those guys who, kind of like I was saying with Stripling, would eventually, if he started in the rotation, wind up in the bullpen. Not so much because he was underperforming, although the second half, if you look historically at the season, were not as good as the first for Alex Wood. But the Dodgers just had a different plan in mind for their October rotation and Wood tended to fit more in the bullpen. Well, now, again, circumstances have led him into the rotation. I think for a 60-game season, Alex Wood is somebody who could put up numbers that you're not accustomed to seeing from Alex Wood in a very good way. Simply because I'm estimating off the top of my head, I want to say like that 120 to 150 inning mark. He would seem to hit a wall back when he was with the Dodgers. But of course, all of this is predicated on health, and he didn't pitch much last year for the Reds. Obviously, this season getting interrupted, I want to say maybe through six innings in exhibition games. So I haven't seen a lot of him lately, but my understanding is he's healthy, and in a 60-game sprint, he could be a very good addition to the rotation, but a little bit of a question mark there. We'll see. And as far as Stripling last night, it was the changeup, man. Short answer, it was the changeup. That was the best changeup I've seen since.
Yeah, he was something else, wasn't he? And, you know, it's funny, and we go through this in the conversation today of, you know, the Giants' approach is, you know, we're not going to tell you who's going to pitch. It depends what happens the day before, and Oh, you know, it's a hard way to go through a baseball season. It really is. But all throughout baseball, pitchers are pitching and pitching effectively, and the Giants can't seem to make that happen. So they turn to a kid today, 23 years old. He should be strong enough just to fall out of bed and give you 70 pitches, and that's Logan Webb today.
You know, those debuts are interesting. So speaking of Ross Stripling, like, this is not somebody who was really a highly regarded prospect. You know, he was a guy, but he wasn't like a stud coming up through the Dodger system. And I think the expectations on Stripling when he made his debut in San Francisco 4 years ago, arguably similar. Certainly nobody expected him to take a no-hitter into the eighth inning, but that's exactly what he did. And I think that is more a testament to the fact that if you're a team, a Major League Baseball, plan on having seen these pitchers in the past, the Dodgers haven't seen this guy, it could go really well. It could go really poorly. I don't know what to expect. But Marty, this is the first I've heard of Logan Webb on this phone call. I just riffed there for like 2 minutes on a guy I haven't heard. How was that?
Oh, interesting. Well, he did pitch against the Dodgers last year, six innings, a couple of runs, walk, five strikeouts, reverse splits, for whatever that means, in a very limited way. He only had 39 innings last year because he had a PED issue. Five homers, four solo shots. That's good. The whip was 1.46. Not good. But righties 319 and lefties 247. So it's his... You know, we'll have to just see what happens. First time through the order, 290. Second time, 250. And the third time, 320, which is probably blaring in big red lights for Gabe Kapler to get him out of there. So probably see him for a couple of times through the lineup today. But did you follow the Angel game last night at all, and the walk-off for Olsen to beat the Angels? It's the first extra inning game that we've had where we've had a starter runner on second base. So were you able to follow that at all?
Yeah, you know, so I was. The interesting thing about this, and this is not how I would have expected this to play out, but I was sort of paying attention for the first nine innings. And then as soon as I found out that, number one, we were going to extras, and number two, Shohei Ohtani would be starting that 10th inning on second base, I was glued, man. And I am not a big fan of this extra innings rule in theory. I would just as soon have the ties, especially knowing that tiebreakers are not going to be used to determine playoff seeding. There are 16 teams, and if they're tied in the standings at the end of the season, so be it. There will be no head-to-head tiebreaker games. But in practice, I'm count me a fan. Like, that was kind of fun.
Okay.
So, I don't know if it'll be like that every day, but that was a fun 10th inning. That was a fun finish. I was paying attention then.
Yeah, I like it. I'm open to it. Believe me, I am wide open to it. I'm open to everything this year. I'm just glad that we have the story and see where this thing goes. All right, so we have Logan Webb today, Alex Wood. Mookie Betts didn't do anything dramatic last night. He did lead off. He looks to me like he's pressing, and he's trying to hit a three-run homer every time he comes up, even if there's no one on base. But there was Muncy last night having the big night, Kiki Hernandez the night before. Bellinger hasn't done much, and that's the depth of the Dodgers. So Logan Webb, don't put anybody on base. That's my advice to you. Keep them off base, and if you give up a home run, make it a solo shot and go five innings. That's my tip for him today.
And be open to everything. That's good advice for any baseball fan this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I you know, we'll chat with you again. And, JP, you've been terrific coming on the show. You really have. We've really enjoyed your reports. But yesterday was a day of baseball. I mean, we're talking Max Kepler. We're talking Lewis Robert for the White Sox, Shane Bieber. You know, we're talking about Kyle Hendricks. There's 30 teams. There's so many stories. And we got so caught up in, will there be baseball? Won't there be baseball? The pandemic and everything else. When it comes right down to it, I don't care if there's no one in the ballpark. These guys are the best athletes in the world, and they go at it. 40,000, six people in the park. they go at it, in my opinion, the same way.
They do. You know what was funny? So this is the funniest thing that I've seen in this season. You'll remember this. So Thursday, Giants-Dodgers, seventh inning, I think, balloon lands on the field. A balloon landed on the infield between first base and second base. This is the most random thing I've seen all season. And I figured out where that balloon came from. Do you want to hear this, Marty?
Okay, go ahead.
There's a hairstylist here in Los Angeles who lives a couple neighborhoods over. It was his birthday that day. Somebody brought a balloon to his birthday party, let it go up in the air accidentally. It floated all the way from Los Feliz into Echo Park, landed on the field in the middle of the game. And this is all over Instagram. You can see the balloon that the person brought. You can see it floating up in the air. And sure enough, of all the places in Los Angeles, it happened to come down right in the middle of the Dodger game. So that's how a balloon lands on a baseball field with no fans. I'm in the spirit of embracing everything. I'm right there with you, Marty. That happened. We'll see how the rest of the season shakes out.
Yeah.
It was weird seeing Hyunjin Ryu in a Blue Jays uniform, and it's going to be even weirder seeing the Blue Jays in Buffalo. I'm looking forward to a lot of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. I hope they stay safe, and these road trips are easy. I know we get news every day. But, hey, JP, thank you so much for coming on. Enjoy the day, and if something crazy happens, expect a call from me tomorrow. But other than that, we'll give you the day off.
Okay, thanks, Marty. Anytime.
Okay, that is JP Hornstra. Very nice. Good report. Well, we've got a surprise guest coming up. We're going to take a short break and bring him on right after this.